Jayoratamadhava Kunjabihari Jayo Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jayo Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Jaya Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachariyam Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Jam Vishnu Patra Mahamsa Paravijikacharya Stotra Sashi Shimat Vidhaniga Swami Si Bhakti Vidanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jam Vishnu Patra Mahamsa Paravijikacharya Stotra Sashi Shimat Vidhaniga Swami Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Namachaya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premasika Ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Par Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopakvinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Maipur Dham Ki Jai Jagannatha Puri Dham Ki Jai Ganga Maya Ki Jai Yamuna Maya Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Nitai Gora Premanande Samaveta Bhaktavinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees all glories to Shri Guru Ranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So today we are continuing study Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Summum Bonum. Chapter 15, the killing of Denuka, the ass demon, and today is the verse number 44. Please repeat. Dayor Yashoda Rohinyao. Mayor Yashodaro Hinyao Putrayoh Putravatsale Putrayoh Putravatsale Yathakamam Yathakalam Yathakamam Yathakalam Vyadhatam Paramashisa Vyadatam Paramashisaha Tayor Yashodaro Hinyao Putrayoh Putravatsale Yathakamam Yathakalam Vyadatam Paramashisaha. Please. Matajis, please. Students. Word meaning Tayo, Tayo of the two Yashoda Rohinyao, Yashoda and Rohini, the mothers of Krishna and Balaram respectively. Putrayoho to their sons. Putravatsale who were very affectionate to their sons. Yathakamam in accordance with their desires. Yathakalam in accordance with the time and circumstances. Vyadhatam presented. Parama asishaha first class enjoyable offerings. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini, acting most affectionately toward their two sons, offered all the best things to them in response to their every desire and at the various appropriate times. Purport. The word Paramashishaha indicates the attractive blessings of a loving mother, which include wonderful food, beautiful clothes, jewelry, toys, and constant affection. The words Yathakamam Yathakalam indicate that although Yashoda and Rohini satisfied all the desires of their two sons, Krishna and Balaram, they also properly regulated the boys' activities. In other words, they prepared wonderful food for their children, but they saw to it that the boys ate at the proper time. Similarly, their children would play at the proper time and sleep at the proper time. The word Yathakamam does not indicate that the mothers indiscriminately allowed the boys to do whatever they liked. But in the proper civilized way, they showered their blessings upon their children. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments that the mothers loved their sons so much that as they embraced them, they would carefully check all their limbs to see if they were healthy and strong. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaivacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharinene Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastityadi Shitarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, good morning, all the devotees. Thank you for coming, even though it's very cold. all the devotees, those who came, very determined in their spiritual life. So today we're gonna describe. When I read this verse, First, what came to my mind about this verse and the purport. Of course, there are many topics we can talk about, but first thing that came to my mind to talk about the deity worship. Because in this verse, a kind of reciprocation, Pujari, you know, when he comes to the altar and he feeds Krishna, he dresses Krishna, he takes care of Krishna, takes care of deity of Krishna, as we know that deity of Krishna is non-different from Krishna himself. So this is kind of a parental duty the pujari does on the altar. And if we will have some time left, I would like to also say a few words about Dhenukasura pastimes. So this deity worship, if we know how to properly do the deity worship, if we know how to do it with the proper consciousness, we can achieve many valuable things in our spiritual life. And the most highest achievement we can get is the love of Godhead through the deity worship. This is deity worship, also one of the items of the sadhana bhakti, including those nine processes, shravanam, kirtanam. So in deity worship is a very deep, actually has a very deep meaning. And today we discuss a little part of the deity process. For example, we will discuss today the ceremony of the arati. And this is very deep meaning of that arati. Because we should not see it as on a superficial scene, how pujari comes out on altar and waving something, waving all kinds of different items, waving around the deity. And some people don't understand what that means. So this actually has a very good meaning, deep meaning. Because when the pujari does this with the proper consciousness, he gets reciprocation with the Lord. He gets understanding that Krishna gives him all things that he need, the intelligence, everything. And so I begin with the meaning of the word. The word arati comes from the Sanskrit word ratri. Ratri also means the night or darkness. So as we recently celebrated Shivaratri, that means night of Lord Shiva. So ratri means ignorance, darkness, darkness of ignorance, darkness, night. So ratri, and arati means that which dissipate the darkness, darkness of ignorance. Because we are, and this is the meaning of get rid of the darkness, because we are living in this world full of darkness, of ignorance. We are in ignorance here, living in ignorance in this world, forgetting about the God. And the arati, there, of course, there are many different meaning of the word arati, but this is one of them. Dissipate the darkness. And those who been in traditional Indian temples, they know that usually it's very dark inside the temple. It's very dark. And we live in this world, we are also in darkness, and we are looking for the God, for the highest cause. And we come to the altar, we come to the temple, and we are looking for the God. And first thing that we see when we come to the altar, first thing what Pujari does, he lights up the lamp. We don't have it here because we have electricity here. But in traditional Indian temples, the first when Pujari comes to the altar, he lights up the light. And in this light, the person who comes to the altar, he sees the God throughout this lighting up of this lamp. So Pujari light the lamp, and all of a sudden we see the God. All of a sudden the God appears in front of us, in front of our vision. And he was before that he was hiding somewhere from us, the God. He was hiding in our heart, hiding somewhere. We don't see him because we are in a darkness of ignorance. And all of a sudden we come to the temple and we see the light, the lamp, and we see the form of the Lord all of a sudden. And this light we need ultimately to lights up Krishna inside our heart. This is one of the meaning of the lighting up the and all the what Pujari does. And just like you know, the pure devotees, they actually they see the pure devotees. They it is said that the love in their hearts, it's like a candle, this lamp. With their love, they nourishing that lamp. And when this fire of love burning in our hearts, the lights of a pure devotee comes out through his eyes, and he sees the deities. And what he does, he does the arati, serves with their eyes, with their vision. They circumambulate the Lord with their love. It is said that when Krishna returned in the previous verse that we read, we saw that we read that the gopis, they wasn't allowed to come close to Krishna and embrace him or do whatever they like. But what they did, they just glanced on Krishna, and they did the arati with their love. Out of respect, they're doing the arati with their eyesight. This is very esoteric. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in his song, Krishna Prema Pradipe Arati Tomar. So I'm offering I'm doing the arati for you, Krishna, with my love, with my Krishna, with my prema. But this is for the pure devotees. And before that, in order to do that, we have to purify our heart first. Purify our heart in order to this would be happened. And Right now, in our present conditional state, the soul, the we are, covered with this material body and with 8 layers of material layers, you know, and because the body is actually it's a dirty substance, you know. The body is consist of very bad smelling thing actually. If we're not taking shower for a few days and we'll not brush our teeth and rinse our mouth after a couple of days, it starts smelling very, how say, very unattractive for Krishna at all. So so the body ultimately consists of these 8 elements, 5 elements, gross elements, and 3 subtle elements. The earth, fire, water, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. These 8 layers covering our soul. And under this huge coverings of these elements, huge pile of these elements is a little 1/10,000 tip of the hair is a little soul we are. We want to love Krishna. It's very funny. It's like anecdote. One devotee, he was saying on a class I heard that compare that this always happened to us in the morning before Mangalarati when we want to wake up. The spirit soul want to wake up to see Krishna every morning, but the body and the mind tell him, lay down, take rest. It's all right. With the command, you're too tired. But the spirit soul, they want to Krishna. I want to serve Krishna. I want to love Krishna. But the body and mind said no. It's like heavy pressure on the soul. We are laying down on the bed and the heavy pressure. All of the elements of this body pressing every morning on us. But this pure spirit soul wants to go to Krishna, wants to come out of this ignorance. But all these layers of ignorance pressing on us. So that's why the ceremony of the arati meant to purify our heart. And we cannot worship Krishna in our present body. Because this present body, by definition, is impure, and we cannot approach Krishna with that body. So first thing that Pujari does before coming to the altar, before approaching the deity, and it's equally referred to any other spiritual activity. Before that, we have to get rid of these layers, coverings, this ignorance. All these bad things, and first thing that Pujari does is he does the ceremony of Bhuta Shuddhi. We call it Bhuta Shuddhi. So this Bhuta Shuddhi, Buddha means material elements, Shuddhi means purify. So we're purifying. The Pujari meditate on these 8 elements, meditating how to get rid of. And the first thing that he have to get rid of is What's the first thing that everything begins from? Who knows? What's the first element? First, false ego, yeah. So first thing that the Pujari meditate, if we get rid of all other material elements but will not get rid of the false ego, it's will not no use. Of this. So the first thing the Pujari does is he chants this mantra and meditate that Lord Chaitanya chanted. Naham vipro nacha narapatir navaisho nashudro naham varni nacha grihapatir no vanastho yatir va kintu pradyan kila paramananda purnam ritamber gopi bartu padakamalayor dasa dasa anudasaha. So he's meditating on it and on this verse and of Lord Chaitanya, and he's think Well, I am not a Brahman, I am not a Vaishya, I am not a Shudra, I am not Brahmacharya, I am not Grihastha, I am not this, I am not that, I am not rich, I am not poor, I am not capitalist, I am not communist, I am not American, I am not Indian, so etc., etc. And we all actually proud of these roles that we are playing in this life. But first thing that we have to come, before coming, approach Krishna, to do service for Krishna, we have to get rid of this, all these roles and definitions of the material body. And I come approach Krishna with this understanding, with this meditation, that I am a eternal servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. With this consciousness, giving up all the anarthas and false ego first. And after that, the pujari starts offering different other elements, symbolic elements representing these material elements. The next thing what he offers, he offers everything according to the shastras, and he does everything with the proper. When he comes at the proper time, and he does this at the particular time, according to the shastras and the acharyas, what he offers with this, he offers his intelligence. This also one of the main item, eight items, one of the eight items that he have to offer. This his intelligence. Those who comes to the, it is said that those who comes to the altar at the proper time, if he punctual. If he does this according to the shastra, that means he's intelligent. Those who are late, they're not intelligent. They're not offering their intelligence to Krishna, those who are late. So this is offering of the intelligence to Lord. The next thing that he offers to the Lord is his mind. And the incense representing, symbolic representing of the pure mind. This is when we offer the incense. Because the mind actually, it's in his conditional state, what it does, it stinks. The mind stinks when it's dirty. From the mind comes all kinds of dirty emanations. And in the mind, we accumulated so much dirt, like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, all these, all kinds of bad things we keep in our mind. We keep in our mind, and when we meditate on this during Bhuta Shuti, so our mind purified, and this incense the pujari offers to the Lord is representing the pure mind, and when the mind is pure. It's generating good thoughts, good emotions, good feeling, good words, good everything. So this is a symbolic representation of the pure mind. Then one by one, pujari offers fire, lamp representing the fire element. Then he offers the water element. Then he offers flower, which is represented earth, then he offers chamara, which is representing the ether, and offer the peacock fan, which is represented by air. So this we do that. All this ceremony meant to purify our heart, to get cleansed. So and ultimately get mercy of Krishna. When it will happen, we could the Krishna reciprocate with us. We understand that we start reciprocate, and we'll get real happiness out of that, duty. Because this is a spiritual duty, and we never should approach to any spiritual duty with our material mind and material understanding. That's very important. That if we think everything is material, in such a way we are doing offenses. And these offenses are blocking our way in progress in our spiritual life. Actually, this old this is a ceremony of arati came out from the ancient tradition which happened every night in Vrindavan, on Goloka Vrindavana, this arati ceremony. Yeah, because when Krishna, he returns back from the pasturing grounds, but the devotees, well, when he was on a herding cows, and when the sun start to roll over the horizon, we know that in Vrindavana there is no nights. Yeah, usually everything is supposed to be brilliant. There is no darkness, but we know that in Vrindavana the sun sets every evening. So you know what's the meaning why the sun sets in Vrindavan? Anybody knows? So this is the explanation that the sun, you know, during the day the sun is shining bright, but at some point the sun sees Krishna, and sun understands that Krishna is brighter than the sun, and the sun became ashamed and turned red after that, and quickly disappear. So when it's disappear, so Madhumangal starts calling Krishna back home. He said, well, Krishna, let us go home, back home. And Krishna said, no, I don't want to go back. I want to play, I don't want to stop. But Madhumangal said, no, we have to go because I'm hungry now. So we have to come back. And Krishna, he didn't want to come back, but he said, okay, you're Brahmana, and whatever Brahmana is saying, we have to follow. Otherwise, if we will not follow Brahmana's instruction, they will curse us. And Krishna said, okay, we'll go back. And Mangal always reminds Krishna that, you know, Krishna, you see that gopis, they love you only because of my blessings. If I curse you, no one will love you. And Krishna said, okay, I will do whatever you like. So they are returning home. And when they are returning home, it is explained that when they return home, with all his cows and calves, a big cloud of dust raises above the earth, and the Nanda Maharaj, he's waiting Krishna at Nandagram for a long time. He already went up on his tower and looking in the distance for the Krishna. And all of a sudden he sees that cloud of dust, and he's screaming, Gopal, my Gopal is coming back, and tears of love flowing from his eyes. And he tells everybody, go and meet Krishna. So this, at that time, the Yashoda runs out of her porch in getting Krishna, just like this famous painting by Parikshit Prabhu. Maybe so, Krishna runs towards Yashoda, and Yashoda stretching her hands, and Krishna stretching his arms towards Yashoda. Very beautiful paintings. Muralidhar, yes. But they did it together with Parikshit, no? Only Muralidhar? Okay, so this came to my mind, that picture. And because this love, actually, it's has this quality of magnetism. It's magneting. If those who are love Krishna, and they attract Krishna, and Krishna, he understands, and he also, like magnet, comes to that, to the devotee. So this is a ceremony, and at that time, Yashoda embraces Krishna. At that time, Rohini comes out also, and Rohini came with a lamp. So this is ancient tradition, came out like arati, and Rohini comes out with a lamp, and she comes close to Krishna and starts looking, checking his body, because it's already dark. the sun already rolled over the horizon and it's dark, and Rohini comes out with this lamp and checking, is there any scratches on Krishna's body, is any blue things on his body, or any hurts, any happened with his body. And she thoroughly checking Krishna's body, like arati, you know, doing looking in Krishna's body. So this is old tradition of the arati. And all the people who are surrounding Krishna, they all see Krishna through this lamp. So they see the sight. That means this actually, this ceremony of the arati is actually the meaning. This is a ceremony of the meeting God and the spirit soul. This is a deep understanding of that. It's meeting. After a long, long time, when Krishna was somewhere out and he's coming back, so those who are inviting him back, they're doing this arati ceremony. And when we do this arati with a purifying mind and pure consciousness, properly understanding how to do that properly, this is the meaning how we, after a long time of separation from Krishna, we meet Krishna and we start reciprocating with Krishna through this ceremony of the arati. Because ultimately this should happen in our life. After some time we have to understand this. This is the ultimate goal of our human life, is to acquire God and forget about this nightmare of the this suffering, this material world, all this material existence which tormented us for the long, long time, since time immemorial. So this is a few words of the meaning. Another thing I want to talk about a little bit about the meaning of this chapter also, and the killing of Dinukasura demon. This is very important lila in also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the Dinukasura, we know, who knows which anartha Dinukasura represents? Dinukasura represents anartha. We know that Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained. Prabhu? Stubbornness, yes, but something else. Distinction what? Creed and caste. Uh-huh. Something else? Any other? No, there is only two words to explain that. Do you have these two words?
Two words.
Yeah.
Is it
two? No, but it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains the some element which represents the Nukasura. So the Nukasura represents the material mind. Material mind is represented by Dinukasura. It's also, has Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that actually this lila of killing Dinukasura is not just that Balaram kills Dinukasura. This is representing that our spiritual master kills our material intelligence, material mind, material intelligence. This is the meaning of that lila, actually. And in order to understand this, we have to come to the Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that that spiritual master comes in our life in order to explain three things. He kills material understanding of three conceptions in our mind. These three conceptions is pertaining to the material conception, material nature of the soul, material conception of the God, and material conception of the holy name. These three conceptions that we is raised in a Western civilization, materialistic civilization, we used to think everything materially on a superficial level, very external. But spiritual master comes, and this actually the thing that representing also that with the help of the spiritual master, we getting rid of that anatta, because this is one of the things that we cannot get rid of by ourselves. We need some help externally, from external help. We need external help in order to conquer that. And for that purpose, we need a spiritual master. And spiritual master comes and explains to us that you should not be materialistic. You should not be. You should not see everything superficial. You should go deep understanding of these three things, because these three material understanding of these things leads us to ultimately to offense to the other living entity, offense to the God, and offense to the holy name, which is blocking our spiritual progress. Of course, it is Chaitanya Charitamrita explained that in order to progress, if we chant the holy name, it's enough actually to achieve love of Godhead. But because we are materialistic, because we are contaminated with our materialistic conception of life, because of this contamination, our progress very much slowed down, and because of that offenses, we can actually only degrade, or it will be very very slow. So spiritual master comes to tell us that he tells us all the time. Srila Prabhupada also tells us in his book, you are not this body, you are not this body. He always repeat that. And we think, how many times he is repeating in his books? But until we act at the spirit soul, that means we don't understand that we are spirit soul. That's why Srila Prabhupada always repeating that we are spirit soul. So this is the duty of the spiritual master to explain us. Then he explained to us that the Supreme Lord is not just like old man sitting on the cloud and lamenting that he created this world and he did something wrong. It's also a materialistic view on a God, and also very much slowing down our progress if we doing such offense toward the God. And the third anartha, third conception of the material mind, is that we do offenses to the holy name, because we see it. And spiritual master comes to us and tell us that the holy name is non-different from Krishna himself, Binatvan Namanamino. So the Krishna in holy name is non-different. So this is three conceptions that spiritual master helps us to understand. And also acharyas explained that material mind has also three things compared to the S, Jack S. So this material mind also has three prominent defects, right? Prominent defects. So the first one, Acharyas explained, the first one, material mind, the same as very stubborn. Not as second one. First, he likes to load with the material knowledge. The material mind, he likes to know, acquire knowledge more and more and more, read more books. Know everything, explain everything. This is a material mind. He likes to get more information. And just like the S, he likes to load up with the weight, And when he gets a lot of weight on himself, he thinks, oh, I'm so important. I know I'm doing right work. I'm very pious. So in that way, also our mind, when he gets more and more material knowledge, he thinks that he's important. So second thing, that he's a stubborn. He's stubborn in achieving the material goals. So if he wants some material goals, if he wants to have a sex with the other she-s. And when he decided to do that, even though the she-s might kick his in the head, still he is very much determined to achieve his goal. This is he's stubborn. And it's also the mind. If we, the materialistic person, if he makes some material achievement goal, he wants to go in spite of anything. He can do anything in spite of any obstacles in his way. So, and the third defect of the material mind of the S, he always unhappy. He always greedy for more. In spite of he achieved, like materialist, he might achieve a lot of material goals, and still he's not happy with that. He has no time to stop for 1 minute and understand whatever I achieved didn't bring me any happiness in my life. So because he's so much in Rajaguna that he don't understand that. But what he does, he's in such illusion that he thinks, I'm not happy, but I will become happy in the future, for sure. Only few steps until the full happiness. But in always, and he's spending all his life trying to achieve that that happiness. So so that's why we need the spiritual master in the form of Balaram. Balaram, he comes and kills our material mind, and as soon as the material mind killed, the spiritual intelligence comes, and spiritual intelligence, he invites Krishna. Just like Ananda Vrindavan Champu explained that when Krishna break in towards to the property of the Denukasura, he breaks in, and all of a sudden Denukasura came out and running towards him, thinking, well, this is my property, everything belongs to me. I have to enjoy all these fruits, tall fruits. Even though the S, he cannot enjoy actually these tall fruits. You know, the tall fruits, I read the explanation of that tall fruits. It's like a coconut. Coconut, the brown thing, coconut, and it's very difficult to get out the fruit actually out of this tall fruit. So the S, he has no hands. It has hoofs. he cannot do anything with the tall tree, tall fruit. So also this, our material mind, he cannot. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktaram Yagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, everything, all fruits belongs to me, Krishna said. But no, our material mind said, no, everything belongs to me. So, and then Balaram, we know, come out. Krishna didn't kill him because, as Bhadra Prabhu explained the other day, that he was a descendant of Bali Maharaj. That's why he didn't kill him, because he promised to Bali Maharaj that I'm not going to kill. So Balaram took his with the rear legs and start swinging him, yeah, and he throw him for the one yojana, 8 miles. Mother Lakshmi Monya read it a few days back. 8 miles, one yojana, and after some time, it's not so easy to kill the material mind. After some time, this donkey attack us again, attack Krishna again. He comes back again. So Balaram, in the form of spiritual master, again throw him until ultimately die. So this this is representing our material intelligence. He always will be attacking us. And spiritual master comes and explain to us everything belongs to Krishna. So we will not actually be able to understand this by ourselves. We need something from external media should come and explain to us. So the Shastras, the Sadhus, the spiritual master, they explain to us, nothing is belong to you, but even your body not belong to you. And the real intelligence, when we get this buddhi, the real intelligence, so the definition of the real intelligence is what? The definition of the intelligence is to understand what is important for us and what is unimportant for our spiritual life. So those who are really intelligent, they understand that the spiritual life should be first priority. Anything besides anything else, we should not think that some spiritual life is not so important. First, we have to earn money and make a career in our life. No. Spiritual intelligence, that means that we understand that we have to be, we have to start developing our relationship with Krishna. This is most important. And unintelligent people, they don't, whatever they, because they're materialists, they think that I have to get more money, but all this money and all their achievements, they will lose at the time of death. So the proper intelligence means that we have to understand that this is temporary. All these material things is temporary. So, and this, if we do this properly, if we understand this spiritual life properly, we will, of course, we will lose this material body and we'll lose everything here. But what will remain is our reciprocation with Krishna, our love with Krishna will remain always. And even if we will die, ultimately we will have this reciprocation with Krishna. So everything else is not so important. Thank you. For your attention. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Maybe anybody has a question or comments? Yes, Pushkar Prabhu. Could you, Pavitra, could you give him mic?
He always thinks he's going to get something, but he doesn't ever get it. That carrot.
Yeah, yeah. It. Yeah, that's why materialists chasing after achieving the goals, because they know
it's
that.
A carrot, it's just hanging in front.
Yes, no, I mean compared to the materialist, they're going to achieve something. They're doing something in order to achieve some results, some fruits of their activity, and this represents this carrot. Yeah, okay, but this is he's not going to enjoy with that.
Always moving.
Yes, thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very specific, that the S demon and Pralambasura, these two are very prominent for us. The reason is, S demon, the biggest mistake, biggest offense he did, that he turned his back. Those disciples who does not follow Guru's instruction, like as demon, he turned his back and kicked the guru and goes away.
Yeah,
so this is the biggest offense, not to obey Prabhupada's instruction as a disciple or followers.
Yeah, just like Dinakasura, yeah. He kicks Balaram.
From the back.
Turn
back. Also in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says the sun. Why? The separation, like the sun here, is a reflection of Brahma Jyoti, which is coming from Krishna. But in spiritual world, the original sun, due to the separation feeling, creates. All the mothers, they pray whole day. After whole day passing, they finish cooking, then they intensely pray. Oh, we are so much in separation from the Kana or Krishna, that please go down, please go down. So the sun goes down. Otherwise, no reason for sun to go down. Because of the prayers of those gopis.
Yeah, there's so many reasons of that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All sweets. All
sweets. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else has a purpose, comments or questions?
Can you
Well, the first ahankara, we have to get rid of the ahankara. This is the first element. By meditating that I'm a servant of the servant of the servant, this is to get rid of ahankara. Then we offer intelligence. Intelligence, meaning, symbolic meaning of offering intelligence, we are doing everything right, and we are doing everything in time, and we are doing everything according to the shastras. This is our offering our intelligence. We are offering intelligence and telling Krishna, yeah, I'm offering that. So next one is incense representing the pure mind. We offer Krishna our pure mind and telling him, this is all yours. I'm offering Krishna to you, my mind. Then fire element, lamp. Then water element. Then we skip the handkerchief. Then we offer the flower, which represents the earth. So then chamara, representing the ether. And the peacock feather representing the air. These eight elements. And we are meditating on this. We're getting rid. Because with this material body, we should never approach to Krishna. We have to get rid of these material elements. And we want to approach Krishna with our pure consciousness, pure mind, pure intelligence, pure ego. All right, thank you for your patience. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanande, Haribol.